What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? A very special edition of Redskins Talk Podcast. I am JP Finley, and this is the 100th episode of Redskins Talk. That is pretty remarkable considering where we started last year recording this thing on my cell phone, often with people calling in, and I had two phones connected to one trying to record one on speaker. We're now in a relatively fancy podcast studio. We've had a whole lot of guests. We've had a whole lot of listeners, and we love you guys. I mean, the amount of feedback we get and just interaction, I enjoy the hell out of it. I mean that sincerely. Of course, with me to celebrate 100 is Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, man?
Yay. Excuse me, just taking a sip of champagne here.
Oh, wait, I guess
I probably shouldn't.
Mercury Morris over here popping bottles. I like it, Tandler. I mean, Tandler, you believe, so we're a year old, and in 1 year, we've done 100 podcasts, and this thing has jumped. I mean, we've got an audience. We've got, I think, over 100 people have signed up for our survivor pool. I mean, this is like our baby, Tandler. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. We're just getting started.
We are
can't wait to see what things are like a year from now.
I agree. So, all right, this is going to be the big reveal. Tandler and I are going to do probably like a 10-minute or so preview for the Redskins-Eagles game this Sunday at FedEx Field, 1 o'clock. Hopefully, if you're going to be there, I tell you what, I'm going to try to do a segment for our pregame show. If you are going to be there and are going to have a sick tailgate, let me know. Drop me a line on Facebook or Twitter or something. I'm going to try to run out into the parking lots. Now, you got to be there early because I got stuff to do from like 11:30 on. But if you're going to be out there by 10:30, 11, and have your grill going and your tailgate going, drop me a line because I'm going to try to run out there and see the best tailgate I can find. And I think that'll just be a fun little element for our pregame show. All our coverage for the game starts at noon on Sunday. Tandler and I will probably do a Facebook Live. What time do you think, Rich? 11:30 or so?
That sounds about right.
And then, you know, the game starts at 1 o'clock. The game ends roughly 4 o'clock. We will have our post-game show immediately following that, where I'm going to get some interviews with guys. We'll react to whatever happened. So we hope you guys are with us the whole day on Sunday. And honestly, I mean, the whole day, every damn day. We got a million things going on Redskins every day, and you guys should be taking advantage of it.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about this game. Rich, what are you thinking going into this thing?
It was a very short answer. Actually, it was the end of a long answer, but it's a short thing that Gruden said that really is not only about this game, that which is what he was referring to, but about the Redskins under Jay Gruden in general. Let me just read it real quick. The key for us, like I said, is to stay multidimensional. One-dimensional, and we'll be in trouble. Of course, multidimensional meaning they never have a whole lot of problem passing the ball usually. Right. They need to be able to run the ball.
Means running the ball.
And that's where, yeah, a post that'll be up by the time this podcast drops. Real quick, some numbers. In Gruden's three season.
Dude, that was my post. You can't read those numbers. That was my post.
What?
I guess I don't know what you're about to say. So go ahead and say
right.
It, and then I'll sorry.
His team is 2-20 when they gain fewer than 90 yards on the ground.
Wow, that's a good stat.
When they gain 90 or more, they're 17-8-1. And real quick, I don't want to do a bunch of numbers on the podcast; they get jumbled. They get in last year in their 8 wins in the first half. Okay, people say, okay, they got some runs, big runs late, you know, and the runs didn't lead to the winning. The winning led to the runs. Last year in the first half. But their 8 wins, 490 yards on the ground, and their 7 losses, 234 yards on the ground.
What does that work out to per game?
It's almost double per game. It's not quite double.
So it's like 40 versus 80 rush yards per game, right? You said
right.
It was 8 at 490 and 7 at 270, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
Wow, they got to run the ball. I think you're going to see a lot of Chris Thompson, man. I think that's one of the big differences is – I think they're going to rely on Chris Thompson early in situations, second down, not just third down.
I think that'll be the case if Rob Kelly has trouble getting started. You know, right? I think second option will be Thompson instead of, as many people are thinking, second option would be Samaje Perine. Perine, we were talking, I believe it was yesterday, he might not even be active.
Yeah, that's an interesting debate we were having on the sideline at practice is Mac Brown, it kind of will validate or invalidate the conversation around Matt Jones last year when they didn't keep Matt Jones up because he didn't play special teams. Mac Brown is probably on every special teams. I don't know that Samaje is on any of them. I'm sure he will be, but if this is about specials, you got to keep Mac activated.
Yeah, I would think so. At least for this game. Then we'll see, you know, if they think they're going to need to sub in Perine if Kelly can't get going over the next few games. I think you might see that switch because, you know, specials are great and you got to have good guys on them, but you also got to run the ball.
I agree with that.
A higher priority.
Here's what I'll say about Thompson is I think this is going to more closely resemble kind of a timeshare between Kelly and Thompson than it is Thompson is a third down back. Now, not to say that they're going to split 50-50, anything like that, but I think Thompson's role is going to continue to increase.
Yeah, that would not surprise me if that happens at all.
All right, I'm going to give a couple of my own numbers. Sorry I jumped the gun on you, Tandler. You know that I'm a frantic person. Kirk kills the Eagles, and I wrote about this earlier this week. He plays his best against the Eagles more so than any other opponent. So in 5 starts against the Eagles, he's gone 4-1. The lone loss came back in 2014. He's completed 63% of his passes for almost 1,600 yards, 12 TDs, 3 interceptions. So Kirk knows what he's doing against Philly. Now, last year, the numbers weren't quite as impressive. He averaged about 245, and he threw 2 TDs and a pick in both games. But, you know, this is going to be the first time the Redskins have their full complement on offense. Pryor, Doxson, Reed, everybody's going to be out there.
Crowder,
Kelly. I mean, all the guys you expect. But to have Doxson and Pryor at the same time is going to be a big deal for this offense. Tandler, let's get into what you actually expect to happen Sunday afternoon.
I mean, I think the Redskins, you know, it'll come down to, and you know, I guess you could say this every week in the game, but the Redskins have to do their usual good job of giving Kirk Cousins time to throw, because the Eagles, they are fierce up front, they are active up front. They've got Fletcher Cox. They added this kid Barnett who's a good pass rusher out of Tennessee. Vinnie Curry, Brandon Graham are not going to be double-digit sack guys, but they're going to get pressure on the quarterback. They line up in this wide 9 formation.
It's fluky.
Of,
it's weird.
Jim Schwartz. Yep. Yeah, and you just don't see it very often, so it's hard to deal with. You know, it's kind of like in college football, Georgia Tech can be successful
option,
with a
right.
triple option because you just don't work against it a whole lot. Same kind of thing with the wide 9. So I think that's going to be really where they have to do is keep Cousins upright and run the ball enough to keep him honest. Like I said, I think 90 is the number. 90 yards at least is the number they have to get to call it a credible running threat.
Well, and the one thing against that wide nine is you should be able to run the ball. I mean, anytime a defense gears up to do one thing, it should open something else up. And the Redskins should be able to run the ball on the in the interior of the line. Hasn't always been a strength. Strength for them, though.
Right. I mean, that's where they've got Fletcher Cox. I think that's kind of their edge. And Jordan Hicks is a pretty darn good middle linebacker as well. So I think they kind of patrol the middle while the ends kind of, right, like you said, focus more on the pass.
Yep. Defensively, one thing that I do think could matter for the Skins team, last year they were able to get to Carson Wentz. They got to him a lot in both games. They didn't face Lane Johnson in either game. He was suspended for PEDs. Lane Johnson's ready to go, and he's been running his mouth. And if I had to imagine, he's going to be very fired up to show that this Eagles offensive line is quite different with him out there. So Kerrigan, Preston Smith, Junior Gallette, I mean, these guys are going to have a bigger challenge this year. Josh Norman's going to be facing Alshon Jeffrey. They've got a burner in Torrey Smith. It's going to be an immediate question for the Skin safeties and DeShazer Everett and DJ Swearinger if they have the speed to keep up with Torrey. I think defensively they're going to be tested right out of the gate. What say you, Tandler?
Yeah, well, and the other guy at left tackle, Jason Peters, you know, you keep kind of waiting for him to fall off. He's in the 34, 35 years old range, but he's still one of the better left tackles out there. So Preston Smith, and wherever Gallette lines up, I would assume Gallette would line up on the blind side. So I guess he and Smith might either be in there in the same time or alternate, or however they're going to do it. That's going to be tough for the edge rushers. It'll be a tough battle all day.
All right. Being the degenerate I am, I'm going to give you some. So the line on this thing is very funky from Vegas. The Redskins are +1 at home. And if you remember that home field advantage usually worth 2.5-3 points, that means if this was a neutral field, the Skins would probably be a 4-point underdog. And that means if this was in Philadelphia, the Skins would be a 6-point underdog, which I just find remarkable considering the Skins have won 5 in a row in this matchup. The Eagles,
and the Eagles just, they aren't that much better.
The Eagles,
they're two teams in the same, you know, you could throw a blanket over them, really.
Right. I don't think the Eagles are that much better than the Redskins. And Tandler, I think it's now time to be honest because we're past it. We're through it. This is the regular season now. The Redskins had a bad preseason. On the field, they looked bad. They suffered two bad injuries in Trent Murphy and Phil Taylor. The Sua Craven situation is weird at best. The offense never really clicked. Terrell Pryor and Kirk Cousins don't appear to be on the same wavelength. All of that was, you can come out of the Redskins training camp and preseason and say it was bad. If you want to grade it, I think they got a C- D+ to be gentle. I don't know if you disagree with that.
Yeah, but how much is that grade? How much relevance does that grade have?
That's exactly.
Go back and.
That's
and,
what I'm saying. None of that matters now.
Right. Except for the guys that are gone. Obviously, that. I wrote that last week. The only thing that really matters in the preseason is Trent Murphy, Phil Taylor, and I guess you could count Sua Craven if he ends up staying away because he was injured in the Ravens game, and that seems to be kind of the nexus of this whole thing.
Well, and I would argue that all three injuries are obviously huge, but the Murphy injury might be the biggest because it goes from a position of strength to a position where you're counting on Junior Gallette coming off 2 years of injury. And Sua and Phil Taylor, we never saw out there. We didn't know what to expect. Now, I think both players would have played and played very well, but we never had a body of work for that. Trent Murphy, we had a body of work last year that would have been very important to this Redskins team.
Yeah, you're taking 9 sacks off the board.
All right, Tandler, you will have an official prediction when? Sunday morning?
Yes.
Okay. So we will hold till Sunday mornings for official predictions. Tandler, tell everybody what you're very good at telling them.
Subscribe to the podcast. Like I said, we've had 100 in a year. If you want to keep track of it, if you want to listen, you know, be able to have, you know, 2-3 days a week on your way to work, we'll have something for you to download and entertain you while you head into the office. But subscribing is the only way to make sure you can keep up with it.
Well, and let's say this. Here is our general schedule for the football season. We are going to do an immediate podcast following the game that, you know, for a 1 o'clock game, maybe it'll come out Sunday night, maybe Monday morning. But depending on when the games are, you're going to get a podcast right away that night. Then let's assume a regular Sunday schedule. So Sunday night, Monday morning, another one Wednesday morning, and then another one Friday morning. That is the plan. Now, some of those might come out maybe late the night before, depending on when we can get them posted. But that's why it's worth subscribing, just so you've got them all delivered right to your phone and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. All right. And, you know, there's a lot of Monday nights that'll alter that schedule, a couple of, you know, Thanksgiving and this and that. So we will
some stuff will change a bit, but we'll figure all that out. You'll get plenty of me and Tandler in your earbuds. Tandler, it's time for the mystery guest.
Are you going to count him in?
No, I have to. I'm not smart enough. I have to say goodbye to you and then contact him.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Well, tell mystery guest I said hello.
You want to do the great reveal now?
Yeah. Sure.
Who is it?
Please welcome to Redskins Talk the podcast. I don't know how to describe him. I'll just give him the name. PFT commenter.
Boom. You did well, Tandler. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right, no better way to celebrate our 100th episode than bringing on the premier football guy in America, Mr. PFT Commenter. How are you, man?
I'm good, and not to kind of correct you right off the bat, but I'm more of a football guys guy. Football guys like me, and I like football guys, so you got to toss that extra guy on there. But yes, I'm very excited. This is like Christmas Day for me. I'm already counting down. The big countdown is actually for next Thursday night, because that's when Color Rush starts, which is the best time of the year. I'm a big Color Rush Thursday guy.
That's the peak of football's opening week for you, is Color Rush?
Well, people forget, on Thursday nights, the uniforms are slightly different. And I think maybe I can introduce this as an exclusive. I'll give you a little tidbit of breaking news. Yeah, we've got we actually wrote and performed a Thursday night football song for Color Rush. So ESPN brought back Monday Night Football and Hank Williams Jr. We're bringing back, for the first time, a Color Rush theme song. And I'm just going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. Wheeler Walker Jr. did it for us, so I'm pretty excited about that.
All right. I'm familiar with Wheeler Walker. That's cool, man. So you've brought it back for the first time. That's pretty incredible.
It's legendary stuff, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Spending the space-time continuum.
So will you make like a specific, like when the Skins and Cowboys play Thursday night, so they play the week after Thanksgiving. Will you have like a new one for that game, or is it one for the year, like Carrie Underwood style?
I might have to do that. I might have to like slightly modify the words to it, because I know that we discussed some of the marquee matchups on the year in the song. Like I think there's like the Bills playing against the 49ers.
Marquee.
There's like the Jets that are on there at least once. So we discussed those in the song, but we might have to amp it up for some of the Redskins games. I'm a little disappointed that they don't have the Redskins and Cowboys on Thanksgiving again this year. That was such a great excuse to not have to talk to my family. So
The Skins are still playing on Thanksgiving, man. They're playing the Giants this year.
Oh, they are. Okay, that's right. Yeah, I liked it when it was the Cowboys, because you get that whole rivalry thing. The Giants, to me, the Giants are just such a boring team. I know they're good, but every year when I see that the two matchups, I always assume that the Redskins are going to lose by 40 in New York and then lose by 3 in Raljohn. Are we still calling it Raljohn, Maryland?
I think they go with Landover now.
I'm bringing back Raljohn. I miss Raljohn. That lasted for like a year, right? Until they had to change it?
Yeah, I think that was Jack Kent Cook's kind of honoring his sons, Ralph and John, so he just called it Raljohn.
Rolled right off the tongue. I'm bringing it back.
Right. You know, this is way back when FedEx opened, but do you remember Kornheiser had a tremendous line in the Post about naming it Raljohn? He was just really happy that Jack Kent Cook's two sons weren't named Peter and Enos.
That is pretty good. That's classic Tony.
That is. All right. Let's talk a little Redskins football. What do you think of the squad this year? Have you had a chance to get to know the players, talk to the coaching staff?
No, not at all. But
not yet.
I've got sources, and my sources tell me a couple things. Number one, Jim Tomsula is back. I think he's going to be a big difference maker. Jim is the kind of coach that if things go wrong in the first quarter, you're going to have to like strap him down to keep him from putting on a helmet and pads and getting back in there in the second quarter. I don't like the mustache being shaved. I'd like to see more facial hair out of him, but that's something that you can work on.
Have you seen the clips where he boxes with the defensive line?
Oh yeah, that's great. I don't know what the drill is supposed to do. He's just like walking backwards across the field, getting hit in his hands. I think that drill is mostly for Jim. I don't think it really has anything to do with the players. He likes that contact. He likes feeling like he's one of the guys. So I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big, big fan of the offensive line, as always. Scherf is a road grader.
It's a tough one. That's a tough
Scherf. But if you say Scherf, you sound like it's an old-timey, like, Western.
Yeah.
Scherf is going to knock you right over, you son of a bitch. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of what they got going with the offensive line, and I am a huge fan of some of your journalism in uncovering Captain Kirk's new goatee.
Yeah, that was capital J stuff right there. Sadly, though, he has shaved it. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why did he? It was there for like a week?
I think it was kind of a weekend. I think when we saw that look was maybe a Saturday, and by Monday he was back to clean cut Kirk.
That's such a Kirk move. It's like that's his weekend fun. It's like I'm going to put on a Nickelback B-side and grow out my goatee, and then by the time work comes around on Monday, I'm shaving it back off, and it's all business. So I don't like that. But Kirk is going to be playing for another contract, I guess, so I'm looking forward. Are they able to extend him to give him another franchise tag after this year? Give him like $35 million?
They can. It'd be pretty nuts. But, you know, Bruce Allen has on more than one occasion talked about the team options for 2018, and one of those would certainly be another franchise tag, which I think $34, $35 million, depending where the salary cap settles next year. They also had the option to do a transition tag, which would be $27, $28 million. But if he gets the transition, he can go and talk to other teams, and all the Redskins can then do is match what another team might do.
Yeah. So, in other words, he's going to start picking up the 49ers playbook after, like, week 10 and just getting a head start on that, memorizing it.
He might. You know, it'll be interesting what happens with the Niners. Everybody kind of assumes that Kirk would want to go there. But, you know, I know you have a good relationship with Jim Harbaugh. The Niners organization has been somewhat of a train wreck over the last 5 years. I mean, this is a team that ran off Jim Harbaugh, had Jim Tomsula for a year, fired him. I mean, the Chip Kelly experiment clearly didn't go too well. I think giving the Niners organization the full benefit of the doubt it doesn't totally add up to me. Now, I think Kyle and John Lynch could change it, but, you know, ownership has a way of kind of keeping their hands in things.
Suggesting that nepotism is an inefficient way to run an organization?
Perhaps I am.
Well, Jed, I like that name, by the way. His name's John Edward, but he goes by Jed.
I didn't know that.
You right there what a great decision maker he is off the top. He's got his little grubby hands and everything. I hope that Kyle Shanahan can do a good job out there. Hopefully he doesn't screw up the mechanics of whatever quarterback they draft next year. But, I think it could be a good organization as long as John Lynch, his major job needs to be just to stuff Jed into a locker. Whenever Jed starts walking into the locker room, Lynch's primary job should just be to beat him up real quick and remind him he's a nerd.
All right. If I see John Lynch, I'll pass that on. The Skins play the Niners, I think, week 6, so maybe I'll get a quick chance to talk to him.
Hey, I've got a question for you. So my favorite coach besides Tom Sula on the Redskins has been Bill Callahan.
All right.
Right? He's a football guy through and through. He bleeds football. If you cut him open, a bunch of little vortexes spill out. How come he hasn't gotten any sniffs for like an offensive coordinator job or a head coaching job? Because he's got that in his background, and he's done an incredible job with the offensive line.
So a few things. I think if Callahan wanted when Sean McVay went to the Rams job, the Redskins OC job was open. And I think Callahan, had he pushed to get that, could have gotten it. And I asked some people about that, and the answer I got was Cal loves being with the O-line. And if you watch what he does every day after practice, the O-line stays out there 20, 30 minutes. During training camp, it's more like 45 minutes. And he's out there barking at these guys. And I think he really enjoys that specific hands-on development, hands-on instruction that if he was to take on the OC job, he'd probably lose some of the time he's able to devote to the O-line.
He just loves the like being in the trenches so much that he'll turn down a promotion, he'll turn down more money just to be with his guys.
Dude, and it's pretty wild. He'll stand. I mean, you know the size of NFL offensive linemen. These guys are massive. Bill Callahan is not a big guy. I mean, he's a fairly – now, he's in good shape. I mean, you see him jogging and stuff for an older dude, but he's not a big guy whatsoever. And he'll stand right in the middle of these guys doing full-speed drills where they're colliding with one another. And here's Callahan just yelling at him and grabbing him by the shoulder pads. It's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah, my theory on that is actually that smaller guys make better offensive line coaches, and I'll point at Joe Bugle. He's kind of the same guy. The smaller guy you can get, that the guy that looks like he smokes like 10 packs of Marlboro Reds a day and has his shorts hiked up to his nipples, that's the guy that I want coaching my offensive line. That's a guy that – it's like a lion tamer. You never bring in a lion tamer who's as big as a lion. I've never seen it in my life. You know your technique better because a lot of these guys – I don't know if you're probably familiar with my background. A lot of people know that I grew up playing football. I'm not sure if you ever played the sport or if you just commentate on it. But I grew up playing some football. And back in the day, when the leagues were separated by weight class, you had a bunch of guys, little guys, that learned how to play O-line and just learned technique. That's all they learned. Then they got to high school, and they got run over and got all their bones broken in the first 2 days. But they know technique, and so those guys are the ones that grow up to tell the big guys how to do their job better, and they're the best at it.
I don't know if you were trying to, but you described my football playing career very well. When it was 65 and under, I was a guard. But by the time I got to high school, I was getting run over most of the time.
Also, short guys understand pad level better than anybody else.
You're big on pad level. I wanted to ask
low man
this.
Wins.
As somebody who has commented on cultural appropriation over the years, and somebody who just talked about Joe Bugle, what do you think about Hogs 2.0 trying to recreate what Bugs had with those Redskins O-lines, the original Hogs?
I've heard about we're on what, like, iteration number 8 of Hogs 2.0. I've heard that like every year going into training camp. These are the new Hogs. These are the new Hogs. We just need to get away from the Hogs. Maybe
they have
like a different.
Though.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was Trent Williams got them all T-shirts.
Okay. Why not the Silverbacks?
I don't know. Maybe Hogs has staying power though.
It does, yeah. But then you got the guys that dress up in the dresses. That was always a lot of fun to me, is like the guys love the offensive line so much that they would imply that they're married to them, and then they show up to games. Those are real football guys there.
Those are.
I don't know.
I think those dudes retire. I don't know if they still come to games now or what.
Do you retire? Do you hang
up
the
your dress.
Hoggett dress in the rafters?
And the nose, the pig nose.
Yeah, those were football guys for sure. I don't know. Hog 2.0, it sounds okay. I would venture towards a different barnyard animal. Like maybe what's got lower pad level than a hog? Actually, hogs
That's
have
tough.
Tremendous pad level.
I mean, their pads are on the ground most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their little udders just dragging across the mud. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like some sort of...
You know who's got the lowest pad level of them all? Snakes.
Ooh, snake. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Also, I was going to say blue whales because they go underneath the water. Which
well, then would it not
lower.
Be like a underground animal, like a gopher? Do they not
Ooh,
have?
A mole.
Yeah. Moles yeah. 2.0.
I like it. The moles. That's good. That's a real attractive sounding name.
We'll see. I'll suggest it and see what the guys think.
Okay, please do.
All right. I want to talk about something. Now, I know you're an in the trenches guy, but the skill positions are clearly important. The Redskins lose DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. They bring in Terrell Pryor. They hope to have Josh Doctson healthy this year.
Mm-hmm. This is the year that Malcolm Kelly finally puts it all together, by the way.
Yeah, it's finally time.
He's healthy. He's feeling in the best shape of his life coming into the season, so this is the year he gets out there.
So you're equating Doctson to Malcolm Kelly. Do I have that right?
I don't want to call it just yet, but yes.
All
yes,
right.
I definitely am.
What do you think about Terrell Pryor then?
I think it's a very Washington Redskins thing to lose both of your best wide receivers and then rely on that production to be made up by a guy that wasn't originally wide receiver. That is life as a Redskins fan, is rooting for that guy. He's good. He's fast. Here's what I like about him. Ready for this? He's got a lot of length. Not length. He's got a lot of length. He's a long guy. really long arms, long fingers probably. Just everything about the guy. He's just got length. And so I think we're really looking forward to seeing we'll call it first and goal inside the five and then four consecutive incomplete corner fades.
Pryor is huge, and I am not ready to write Doxson off as a Malcolm Kelly. He is really good, man. I think obviously the big if is staying on the field. What about a guy, Jordan Reed, who clearly has talent, but the injuries have also been there for him?
I like Jordan Reed a lot, but yeah, you're right. I kind of feel bad for him because he's in the position that honestly most football players should be in, but he's gotten he's gotten banged up in his head a lot, so he's got a history of concussion. So every time
he gets hit
and he feels a little bit wobbly, he's like, "Well, I think I've got another concussion," which he probably does. But he's actually just more woke to the fact that he's concussed than most players. But if he can stay healthy, he's a top five tight end for sure. And without him, I think the Redskins don't really have a chance at sniffing the playoffs. But with him, I think they could get a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that makes their offense go from good to dynamic, I think.
He's a difference maker.
Big time.
Chess piece mismatch. He keeps opposing defensive coordinators up at night.
But are you worried there's nobody to take the top off defenses? I know that's something that you guys zero in on.
We do. We talk about taking the top off a lot. Ezekiel Elliott got into trouble for doing that last offseason without permission. A guy that could take it off, that would be DeSean Jackson. So I don't know. Who's the guy that's going to demand bracket coverage this year?
They don't have vertical speed like DeSean. I mean, there's few players like DeSean, but I think they're hoping – I really think they want to run their pass offense kind of inside out, starting with Reed and Jamison Crowder underneath, and then that should open things up for Doxson and Pryor. And they love kind of those play action post routes or long crosses, that sort of stuff. And I think that's what they're going to try to do, especially without the straight burner speed of DeSean.
The nice thing is without DeSean, the Redskins don't really have any receivers that Kirk Cousins can underthrow. So he's really big on accidentally doing that. Now that he's got less fast players out there split end, they can just kind of naturally run underneath the ball, even though he's trying to overthrow him.
So I didn't get to ask you that. I know we talked about his facial hair, but specific to Kirk, where do you think he ranks among NFL quarterbacks?
I think he is he's good enough to lose a playoff game.
Okay. So like 2015, I mean, he got that hot streak, got the skins, they won the NFC East, and then lost at home to the Pack.
Yeah, that's about his ceiling, I think. Kurt is really – or is it Kurt?
With a K,
Kurt, right?
With a K.
Kurt with a T. That's the Bruce Allen McLean accent. Actually, it's funny that Bruce Allen said that was his McLean accent. The McLean accent is just, my dad's a lawyer, he'll sue you. That's what the McLean accent
is. But he also said Kirk very clearly later. I talked to him during training camp on TV, and if you know Dan Steinberg of the Post, watched the interview and was like, oh my God, he said Kirk.
So yeah.
So maybe he moved out to Ashburn now. I don't know where he lives, but maybe the McLean stuff has become more of an Ashburn accent.
It's transitioning to the Ashburn accent, which is just, we'll give you, how does 5 years, $35 million sound? That's the Ashburn accent.
I don't think Kirk's going to sign 5 for $35.
He's not. That's actually a good negotiating tactic by Allen, is if he uses the Ashburn technique. Yeah, to answer your question, I think Cousins will, he will dominate against poor defenses, and he'll have, a few games where he throws for 350 yards and three touchdowns, and then he'll play against good defenses, and he'll throw for 200 yards, two interceptions, and one touchdown, and they'll lose the game. That's kind of what he does. Say what you want about Cousins, but at least he's very consistent.
Yeah, I think Cousins is a good quarterback in a league where there aren't enough of them. I don't know that he's ever going to be a great quarterback, but I mean, maybe he takes a step this year. If he takes a step this year, we'll show a lot, because losing McVay, losing DeSean, losing Pierre, this is an entirely different team. I don't know that I've ever gotten your take on Jay Gruden either.
I like Jay. Speaking of accents, he's got a great one. I don't know what it is, but he's like, come on, hey, I'm out here, I'm Jay Gruden. I can't even do it, but like that, because it's an impossible accent to put your finger on.
Have you ever read The Right Stuff?
No, I haven't. I'm not a book guy. I read a lot of Wikipedia.
Well, there's a movie, so I'm sure it has a Wikipedia page. But in the right stuff, they talk about, have you ever noticed when you're on an airplane, every pilot kind of has this same twang when they're like, hello, folks, and welcome to the 35,000 feet. We're cruising along and everything's fine. And they have this reassuring tone whenever you hear the pilot talk.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jay Gruden has the equivalent of that for football coaches. Like,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, you're right. I can hear a little bit of Adam for sure. You put your finger right on it. Jay, I don't like the fact that he looks to be in better shape than he's been in the past.
Lost 22 pounds this offseason.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't like
ketosis.
That. I don't like that. I like my football coaches to be a little chubby. Shows that you're spending too much time in the weight room, not enough time in the film room. I think, you know, Jay is the Kirk Cousins of NFL coaches. I think that he's good at putting together an offense. He can make was it lemonade out of lemons? Can I cuss on this podcast?
Yeah, cuss.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say he can make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Yeah.
So he got Andy Dalton, you know, to have some of the best years of his career, and he's made Kirk Cousins look like a decent quarterback. Now here's the thing that they're gonna run into, and that they already have kind of run into, is exactly what the Lions were forced to do, and that's pay a lot of money to a guy that might not be a top five talent at the quarterback position, because what are the Redskins' other options right now, right? They bring in, I'll tell you what their best option is Colt McCoy, because I think he is just basically Kirk Cousins without the illusion that Kirk Cousins is a top-tier quarterback. So, but without that, your options are like, let this guy walk, and then you draft a guy, and then you hope for 2 years that he can put it together. And then you find yourself in that weird middle ground again. Unless it's like one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know that for a fact, you're always going to have to overpay a guy. So I would rather pay average money to Colt McCoy than overpay Cousins and be kind of hamstrung with his salary for the next couple of years. But I think Jay Gruden could get the best out of both those guys.
That was serious analysis there, and I think there's a lot of thought to that. I reported back in January, there are folks inside the Redskins organization that believe what you're saying, that they can get 90% of the production that Kirk gives them from Colt for a quarter of the cost. And I think this year, or next season, I guess, in 2018, when the franchise tag is going to jump so much, you're really going to see if that decision comes to light. Because I think clearly the Skins for two seasons now have been reluctant to give Cousins the money it takes to sign him long term. And this year, with the franchise tag being so damn high, they really might have to back off and let Kirk walk, or they got to come up with the cash. And it'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
One dude we haven't
Colt
got to...
can't beat Alabama, though. That's a problem. So we know that about him. Also, wouldn't it be
but
nice
now
to
they're
see...
just drafting the Bama guys. That's the Skins' new philosophy.
I like it. If you can't beat him, join him. Yeah, what I really am looking forward to is Colt McCoy and Mac Brown getting back together again.
The other Mac Brown.
Yeah, the other guy. But still, that would be a wet dream for headline writers across the DMV if those two got back together.
Well, did you see that Colt and I had a little wager on the Maryland-Texas game?
I did see that. So you called that? Did you bet on the spread? Did you just do straight up?
He said he would bet anything in the world, and I was like, all right. And we came up with the kind of the standard bet in the Redskins locker room is whatever team loses, the other guy has to wear their shirt. So last year, Arkansas played Texas A&M. Martrell Spate went to Arkansas. DeShazer Everett went to A&M. And Martrell Spate had to wear an A&M sweatshirt in the locker room. So, you know, kind of
okay.
a basic. So I tell you what, man, Colt was a good sport about that. He was not happy about it. I was a little nervous giving him that T-shirt, but he's a stand-up dude for putting it on.
Does he have one of Tom Herman's hydration charts for his urine hanging up in his locker?
I have not. I do not think so. I have not seen it.
Well, I'd like to see a little bit more urine analysis. That's one thing. Say what you want about Chip Kelly, but he was the doctor of piss in the NFL, and that guy collected more urine than he knew what to do with. So I'd like to see maybe Colt McCoy, even if he's not the starter, maybe show a little bit more leadership and just collect a bunch of mason jars of his piss and have
like
him hang
Howard
in his
Hughes.
Locker. Yes. Yes.
All right. We talked a lot about the coaches. You said you weren't happy to see Jay Gruden lose the weight. Have you taken a look at Greg Minuski, the Redskins defensive coordinator?
I have not seen a picture of him recently, but
he's
tell you
jacked,
what,
dude.
I'm Googling him right now.
He's jacked and has killer Elvis-style sideburns.
So he's the DB's guy, right?
No, he's the defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinator, that's right. So he was I read an article about him the other day where he's a big practical joker, right?
Like exactly.
In trash cans and stuff and just like pops out of him.
Scares people, yep.
Yeah, I love that. Keeps you on your toes. So he's kind of got that quasi strength and conditioning coach feel going about him where his job is to just kind of amp you up. And just get the blood going, get the adrenaline going. I'd like to see him and Deuce Gruden kind of team up like a of mice and men type situation where you got the big dude and the little dude going around just like shocking people and playing pranks, but videotaping them. I don't want to be reading about my pranks in the paper.
I think they should tape something.
Like reading Penthouse Forum. I want to see the actual evidence of it. I want the Spice Channel for pranks.
All right, I don't know that I can pass that one along, man.
Just tell them to start videotaping. If you put it on YouTube, you can do whatever you want to another human being as long as you follow it up with it. It's just a prank. Their camera's right there. It's for the internet.
I mean, even the Skins could put it on like their Twitter feed and people would go nuts. That's a good idea.
Yeah, Minoski's pranks.
Yeah, dude, that would go ballistic if they did that. All right. One guy that is a big deal for the Skins, and I know your time is very valuable, so I don't want to hold you up too much. Josh Norman. I don't know that I've ever gotten the PFT take on Josh Norman.
I don't like how disrespectful he was to Gettleman down in North Carolina, who's proven to be one of the top talent guys in the league and beloved by all of his players. Seriously, like I think Norman is probably like a top three cornerback. I think he's a really good player. He wears a lot of compression sleeves, which I'm not so much into, but you know that's something that I can overlook. What I don't like about Josh Norman is his presence on the team. It's just like a trigger for Breshad Breeland, right? So it's like, you ever seen two dogs that just don't like each other? That when you bring one of them into the room, the other starts like snarling and acting like a complete lunatic and moron and forgets where it's supposed to pee and where it's not allowed to go and what its manners are. That's kind of Josh Norman. When you bring Josh into a room, Breeland just kind of starts snarling because he smells an alpha. He's like, I'm supposed to be the alpha. And then he starts kind of acting up. So that's what I don't like about Josh Norman's presence. But besides that, the other thing I'm really looking forward to is the constant debate of whether or not Josh Norman should be following the other team's best receiver. So that's good for a good like 3 weeks of NFL storylines.
Word is that's done, and Norman will just be following other teams. We'll see it this week with Alshon Jeffrey. And from what I understand, the plan is for Norman to be with Alshon most of the time. I really think last year was such a circus surrounding Norman, the way he was released by Gettleman in Carolina. I mean, everything surrounding it was just kind of a zoo. This year, I tell you what, my prediction this year is Norman leads the NFL in interceptions. Last year, he got his hands on a ton of footballs, but couldn't bring them in. He was playing most of the year with damn near a broken hand. He had this crazy little cast on it that was like padded on the top. And, you know, I think if that wasn't the case, he would have caught more of those interceptions and it would have been a different season for him.
That's why he's a cornerback. People say that's a good joke that you can always make when a cornerback drops. Well, that's why he plays defense. That's why he's not a wide receiver. You'll get a laugh from like a 0.25% of the room that you're in.
I'll keep that in my pocket. That's a good one.
Yeah, Norman's a good player. I think, you know, you predicting him to lead the league in interceptions is probably your homer side coming out a little bit. But
they pressed me for a bold prediction. That's the one I made.
Yeah, it's not a bad take. I'll give you that.
It was that or Kirk Cousins throws 50 touchdowns, and I figured Norman was a little safer.
Well, that's the thing. Norman gets a lot of practice, so he should be catching most of those balls. Oh, speaking of, you know, you mentioned that he had his hand wrapped up. My favorite Redskins memory of all time was back in, I want to say, the 2005 or 2006 season, John Jansen, when he was on the team, and he had two broken thumbs or two broken hands, and so he just had both hands completely wrapped up in these little clubs, and his job was just basically to run around the field just like shoving people because he couldn't use his hands on anything. But it was the funniest thing that I've ever seen.
It was
just
two
watching
broken thumbs, man. I remember that.
Watching him run down the field just shoving anybody that was around him, that was a football guy.
That is a football. How bad must the options be behind somebody that you play the guy with two broken thumbs?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was that offensive line was actually very good in their starting five, but once you got behind them, it was just like a bunch of dog shit. No offense.
None taken. Well, I mean, Chris Samuels was on those teams who was great, too.
Yeah, Samuels, Randy Thomas, right?
Randy Thomas. Is that? I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, the guy that we got from the Jets that broke his leg and then gave a thumbs up when he was being carted off the field.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. They did a bunch of trades with the Jets back then. Remember they traded for the kick returner from the Jets? And maybe the kicker, John
and the
Hall?
Kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was our the little I-95 corridor of crap for a couple years.
Lavernius Coles, Santana Moss. There was a lot of skins to Jets operations in those years.
It was either like Coles being traded back and forth or James Thrash just being like put on the Acela train and driven up and down 95 for a good like 10 years. That's kind of what the Redskins team architecture strategy was.
Saving money on plane tickets, man. Just use the train.
That's right. Yeah. That probably factored into it for a little bit. Vinny Serrato was like, I just got this credit card and I get extra points when I use Amtrak. So we're going to get Coles back in town for workout.
I have a very obscure question for you. And I heard this on the radio in 2001, whenever it would have been relevant for Vinny to answer this. It was when Vinny had his radio segment while he was GM. What is Vinny Serrato's alcoholic drink of choice?
That's a great question.
And I would this say could have changed, but at one point I heard this on the radio.
His alcoholic drink of choice. I'm going to go with butt-funneling Mad Dog. Am I right? No, here's what it is. Whatever Dan Snyder's drinking.
I don't think either of those are correct. I don't know much about Dan's choice of drinks. What Vinny once answered, what I heard once, was that he likes a good white wine spritzer.
Oh, my God. That explains so much about like the formative 7 years of me being a Redskins fan.
That you're revealing something to our listeners, man. That now I know you're a national football guy now, so you got a much bigger perspective. But at one point, the Skins were your team.
At one point, they were. Yeah, you know, at one point, I used to like ska music a lot too. Taste change over the years. Vinny Serrato, he is the bane of my existence. And speaking of that, he's about due to be brought back in, right? What's your over under of how many years Allen sticks around?
I did find it interesting that Bruce recently bought a house in Southern California.
Ooh, okay. Let's get the rumor going.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just a good investment. He's got lots of family. He lived in California for a while. You know, from what I understand, Southern California is a very pretty place to live.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bruce is with this team for the foreseeable future. I think he is absolutely with this team through the completion and construction of a new stadium, which is going to take some time. And, you know, they're under lease at FedEx through at least 2027, I think. So you're talking at least another decade. I don't think Bruce is going anywhere.
Is the new stadium, if you were to say yes or no, gun to your head. That's a fun segment, by the way. If you ever want to really get an answer out of somebody, just say gun to your head.
That's intense.
It makes them more comfortable to answer the question.
Like the deer hunter.
Yeah. So gun to your head, is the new Redskins stadium going to be within the District of Columbia or not?
No.
You think in Maryland or you think in Virginia?
I think it's my guess, my total guess, and I have no insight or reporting on this at all. I think it's going to be around National Harbor. I think so, probably inside the Beltway or somewhere right around all that development where the casino is now and that big mall, all that stuff.
Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll figure out a way to have the metro run efficiently out to it on time.
That's the thing. There's no metro out there. And that's one thing Loudoun County. So the governor of Virginia, I don't know how much attention you've been paying to this stuff. The governor of Virginia is all in on trying to get the new stadium in Virginia to the point where he openly like makes fun of the state of Maryland. He had a line during training camp like, "Hey, Maryland, you know what? All the crabs are actually from Virginia. Take that." And I mean, that's governor smack talk, I guess.
I like it. I like it a lot. Let's get it going. What are the names of Dan Snyder's kids? Because maybe if he offered to name the town after them, maybe that would kind of nudge it over the edge.
You know, I don't know. Dan is fairly private with his family. I don't know the names of his kids.
Let's see. I just Googled it. Oh. So we got one named Jerry and one named Tiffany. So it was like and one named Brittany. So what if it's Britt Jer, Virginia? That's where the new stadium will be built. You heard it here first.
Breaking news. We shall see, man. The problem with going out to Loudoun County, where the metro is now expanding, I don't know the last time you were out there, PFT, but driving to and from Ashburn, and then, you know, some days I drive to get lunch during practice or whatever. There are cranes everywhere out there. That land is valuable and is getting developed. I think they are building more server, what are those giant server warehouses, whatever the hell they call those things? I swear they're building more of those.
Not servers.
They're building more of those in and around Ashburn than they are in Silicon Valley. That is, I have no evidence of that, and I cannot support that whatsoever, but they're building them everywhere.
That's the Russians. It's either the Russians or the NSA. Whenever I drive past big buildings in Northern Virginia, it's always one of the two.
They have no windows either, man, so you might be onto something.
Turn your cell phones off. Don't talk in the car. They can listen to you.
All right, they might be listening to this, but then again, we're encouraging them to listen to this, so maybe we're doing it wrong.
Good for ratings.
All right, this will be my last question for you, and then I'll take any questions you might have, but can I get an NFC East prediction and why?
Okay, yes. I think I'm going to go with Giants first place.
Yep.
I like Ben McAdoo's hair this year.
Still going with the butt part right down the middle?
Oh, yeah. Still going with the butt part. You know it. I think that it's addition by subtraction, having Odell Beckham out with an ankle injury. I think that they'll be more focused on old school Giants football, which is to run the ball for like exactly 4.2 yards a carry and then like just go over the top on a play action. I think that I'm going to put the Giants at 11-5.
Ooh, all right.
I'm going to put the Cowboys behind them at 10-6.
Getting a wild card spot?
Yeah, still getting the wild card spot. Dak having a very Dak-like year.
What do you think happens with Zeke, by the way?
I actually think that Zeke might just play every game.
I do, too.
We said this on the last show, but he's Schrodinger's halfback because he's suspended and not suspended at the exact same time somehow. I don't know how that works. Adam Schefter is basically qualified for a JD degree at this point with all the like legal stuff that he's had to learn. But I think they might just – I don't know if it's going to be a stay or the temporary restraining order, whatever is going to go through. But it sounds like the NFL – this is a shocker, so sit down. If you're out there standing up listening to this podcast, sit down because the NFL did not do a very thorough job in investigating an accusation of domestic violence.
All the evidence, whatever the case.
Strange.
Yeah.
But, I think that Ezekiel might play for the entire season. So I think that they're going to go 10-6. I'll put the Redskins behind them at, we'll call it 8-8. And fighting for a playoff berth. Who are they playing in week 16? Because that's honestly what I'm going to base my entire prediction on here.
Week 16 or week 17, they finish the year in New York against the Giants.
They're not making the playoffs.
I tend to agree with you.
They're going to lose that game and they're not going to make the playoffs. They'll go 8-8 and then they'll give Kirk the old transition tag. And then I'm going to put the Eagles. I think the NFC East is going to be really good this year, actually. I'm going to put the Eagles at 8-8 as well.
I have pretty similar numbers. I think the Giants could actually be I'm with you on the Giants winning. I think the Cowboys get a wild card spot, 10-6, 9-7. The early season for the Cowboys is tough, and as good as their offensive line is, they did lose two guys off there. So they've got some adjustments to make, and then the Skins and the Eagles will be right there. And that's kind of how I see Sunday's game going with the Skins and the Eagles is it'll be kind of a toss-up. I think Kirk gets it done week one against the Eagles. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't like Doug. So you might have figured this out by now, but I make a lot of my prognostications just based on the opposing coach's appearance in general.
Smart.
And Doug Peterson he looks like he's wearing one of those visors that has the fake hair that pokes up in between, like one of those goofy hats.
Yeah, you can buy them at like the Ocean City Boardwalk.
Exactly, yeah, that your uncle wears on his birthday every year, like as just kind of a fun little goofy gag.
Right.
That's what his hair looks like. I can't trust a coach like that. Although I do like their defense. I think their defensive line, especially with Chris Long being added to it. Here's one thing you can keep an eye out at home. On the sidelines, Chris is a bit of a prankster, likes to stand next to the other guys on the team so that it looks like it's funny when you read the back of their jerseys. So they got a guy named Fletcher Cox on their defense.
Oh, boy.
Chris Long is going to be standing to his left like 90% of the time on the sidelines just to give like a little wink and a nod and tell the guys watch at home like a little locker room talk.
If I see that during warmups, I will take a picture and send it to you.
Also, Lane Johnson, he'll be standing next to him as well, so just keep an eye out for that. My prediction officially is going to be Washington R words 21, Philadelphia Eagles 17.
Okay, you heard it there. The Skins had a very, very G-rated version of that. They had a kid on their. This was when the squad was 90 during training camp. They had a kid, Tevin Homer, and another kid, Fish Smithson. So when those guys would stand next to one another, it read Homer Smithson, and a lot of us got a laugh out of that. Wasn't quite Simpson, but it was close.
Yeah, that's about the story of the Redskins' life right there. It's like, I could see it happening, but try to work a little harder.
Since 1991, I think you're right.
Yes.
When we were really young children, they were awesome at football.
They were very, very good at football. Yeah, never forget.
PFT, thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Anything you want to tell anyone, this is your open forum.
I got
one more thing. Is it the Caps year?
It's always a Caps year.
Let's hope so, man.
This is the year that the Caps put it together. I'm very, very confident in that. And as a matter of fact, I wore my Our Year shirt for the very first time since they proved to me that it wasn't their year. I wore that yesterday for the first time. So I'm 100% back on board the Caps bandwagon. I'm going to be driving it again starting opening day.
All right. You come down and I'll buy beers, man. Thank you for joining us.
Is it the Nats year?
Dude, it might be. I love that they're a little under the radar. I get nervous about Strasburg and Gio in October, you know?
Yeah.
Those guys, with a lot of pressure on them. We'll see.
I think that's well-deserved skepticism on your part. What do you think about Bryce Harper's hair? Is Bryce Harper the hair of baseball?
Would you consider putting your hair into braids?
As a matter of fact, I did when the Caps lost in the playoffs.
2 years ago?
No, this was this year.
Oh, wow.
I know they lose a lot in the playoffs. But, I came back to New York, and I immediately put my hair in cornrows just to distract myself from it. So Bryce is kind of copying me.
What do you think of his look?
I love it. Can't get enough of it. I'm interested to see what Dusty Baker says about that. Like, Dusty strikes me as a guy that refers to cornrows as corn rolls. So I'm eager to hear how he'll mispronounce that.
All right. If I get a clip of it, I'll let you know. That is something to keep an eye on. I kind of thought cornrows were kind of over. I thought that was more like Iverson, you know, 04-ish time period.
I think cornrows, they're in the eye of the beholder. I think most baseball fans are typically a good 15, 10 years behind popular trends. So this is actually right in the sweet spot for a baseball purist to get into cornrows.
Gotcha. PFT, you're the man. Thank you, buddy.
Anytime.
All right, folks, that was it. That was our 100th episode in the books. I hope you enjoyed it near as much as I did. I thought that was a blast. Always good to talk with Tandler and get the numbers for the upcoming matchups. Make sure you check out. I'm going to have my game preview Sunday morning. Tandler's going to have 100 articles between now and then, and all of it's going to be valuable information. And then we're going to have you covered all day Sunday for Skins Eagles. Make sure you're tuning in to CSN as well as all our various social and digital platforms. And, just a big thank you to PFT for coming on, man. That dude is hysterical and was a Redskins fan, so a little good perspective on stuff there. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, and I sincerely mean this, thank you guys for listening. You are the reason we've done 100 episodes. You're the reason hopefully we do 1,000 more. I enjoy this platform maybe more than any other that I get to talk on. And if you see me and we can do it, I owe you a beer.